Well, it is a joy to be here, and I trust that I can give you something tonight that will help you, encourage you in your walk with the Lord. I thought about as these children were up here, it always reminds me of Proverbs 22:6. And if you train them up right, they'll end up right. They may stray a little bit from time to time, but that verse is a promise that God's given us that they'll never get away from the teaching and the training that you'll instill in them. And you're to be commended for that. I wished I had been in church when I was about that size, but I wasn't. And for that, I bear the scars of sin because of that. But I'm thankful that God did pass by my way and save me. And I'm honored to be here tonight. I do appreciate your pastor. Many, many years ago we met. And I remember when we first went to Faith Baptist Church when he was pastoring there in South Carolina. We were needy people. Spiritually needed some help. And I believe God directed us that way. And preacher, you helped us. And I love you for that. Appreciate men of God that still preach the truth today. And they may be few and far between, but I'm still glad that there are some preachers that preach the Word of God. Amen. And I appreciate that so much tonight. Brother David is talking about the spending limit. The spending limit will be whatever the credit card limit is. That'll be the limit, probably. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 4. The book of Luke, chapter number 4. I prayed much about the message, about what the Lord had me to look at. I did have the privilege of teaching this morning, Brother Pastor Brandon's class, and got to teach those young teenagers. And now we're moving on a little bit older people. And I do pray that the Lord had helped me tonight to give you what the Lord's laid on my heart in these verses of Scripture. I shared this with my church some time ago. I sort of feel sorry for my wife because she's heard everything that I've got to preach. Every now and then I'll get a new one, and I can tell the difference. She sort of perks up a little bit. He's talking about yawning. If you see her yawning, don't pay no attention to that. She's heard this a few weeks ago. I enjoy preaching new stuff, but seems like the past several months the Lord has directed my attention back to some of the older sermons, outlines, whatever you want to call them, that the Lord had given me years ago. And I just want to mind the Lord, and I trust you'll pray for me tonight as we look into the Word of God. Luke chapter number 4, I want to read verse number 16 down through about verse 21, or verse 22 maybe. And there's a thought in here that the Lord has touched my heart with. I want to preach on, will the real Jesus please stand up? And you'll get the verse here in just a moment. Luke chapter 4, verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day," and here's my text, "and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' So he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Now, I'll stop there for the sake of time. I have, a second title, maybe to the message. It would just simply be the ministry of Jesus. And we see that here in these verses of Scripture. In verse number 18 and 19, these verses tell us what Jesus had promised and said that he was going to do. And the reason that I talked about, will the real Jesus please stand up, is because the real Jesus is not always preached in our churches today. I do want you to take your Bible and turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians for just a moment. I want to read just a couple of verses of Scripture from here, and then I'll give you just a couple, two or three things tonight quickly. I know we've already been here a while, but do let me give you the burden that's on my heart. You pastors know, or you preachers know, that when God puts something on your heart, you got to get rid of it. Amen. If you don't, you're going to be up all night. You'll have indigestion, and I don't want that tonight because I want to be able to sleep tonight. So I want to do give you the burden on my heart. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse number 2 down through verse number 4. Notice what Paul is telling the church at Corinth. And to me, this is a true pastor if there's ever been one. I'll be honest with you, I would not want to be a member of a independent fundamental Baptist church or any kind of church, as far as that goes, that my pastor was not concerned about me. I would not sit under that man. You may get upset sometime at what the man of God may preach. But then again, you may not. But you got to realize this, that if he's the true man of God, and you do have one, then he's got to preach what God puts on his heart. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I've sat in the pews, the preacher's preached to me and nailed my hide to the wall. And I felt like sometimes that preacher been reading my mail. But in the end result, I know that he's doing it because he loves me and he loves the Lord. He loves the calling that God's put on his life. And that's what we see, I believe, in the Apostle Paul's life. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse number 2. He said, "For I am jealous over you." I like this, with a godly jealousy. "For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now he's talking to the church. And he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." Now notice this, "so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Let me say this, the devil will try to attack your mind. That's the battlefield that Christians are facing today, is because of the devil, how he will come and try to attack our minds. I was asking them coming down the road, sometimes, you know, a verse sometimes disilludes me, and I was trying to remember the verse about, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Pastor Brandon reminded me of it. The Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds," not the eyes, "but the minds of them that believe not, lest they should believe the gospel." You see, the devil don't want you to get saved. Amen. And that's why he's attacking the minds of lost people. If you could ever get lost people to sit down long enough and preach the Word of God to them, and they will hear the Word of God, God can take the Word of God and deal with their hearts. But we know that the same way that the devil attacked Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden, he's still doing that today. He attacks our minds. He gets our minds to wandering around. And if we're not careful, we can have our minds on what we're going to do tomorrow and not hear the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And so when you come to church, you ought to pray, "God, help me to keep my mind on the Word of God." Amen. Because even as a child of God that is saved and right with God and trying to serve God, and as far as you know, there's no unconfessed sin, but nothing between you and God, the devil will still try to attack your mind. That's why I always try to set up close to the front, because if I sit too far in the back, I see everything that everybody does. You know, when Joe scratches his head, and I'm, if Joe's here, I'm not preaching to you. And when Joe scratches his head, you know, my eyes see that and I sort of look at it. So I try to sit up close to the front so that I don't have a lot of distraction. But Paul had a burden on his heart here for the church here at Corinth. He was jealous over them. Thank God for a man of God that's jealous over his people. And he says, listen, he said, I fear that Satan, Lucifer, he said, beguiled Eve through the subtlety so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I notice verse number 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, you ought to underline that in your Bible, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit whom ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted. Now notice this. Ye might well bear with him. There's three things there that I believe we see happening today, even in some of our good churches. There is another Savior that's being preached. But the Savior of the Bible, to me, can be zeroed down to one thing. The Jesus of the Bible, when you meet him and he meets you, and you accept him as your Savior, one of the things, the first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a change in your life. Amen. One preacher said this, if there's never been a change, there's probably never been a conversion. I mean, Jesus is going to change everything about you. He'll change the way you act, the way you live, the way you dress, the way you talk, the places you go. Amen? Amen. Jesus of the Bible will change you. But there is a Jesus that's being preached, at least down in South Carolina where I live. I don't know about up here. The Jesus being preached down there is this, that, you know, just do anything you want to do. If it makes you feel good, you're all right. Now, that's what's being preached down in South Carolina. And we got churches down there that are growing by leaps and bounds because they know that that man of God's not going to preach on sin. And sometimes a preacher needs to preach on sin. Man asked the preacher, asked our pastor one time, he said, why do you always preach on things? He said, because I don't want them things in the church. Amen. And I think a preacher needs to name sin. Yeah. Amen. Don't go to sleep on me. Amen. Amen. The preacher needs to preach on sin, hot and heavy. Preacher, I don't sin. Well, you just did. You told a lie. Amen. But notice it's another Savior. Then there's another spirit that's being preached because the Holy Spirit of God will convict you. Now listen, if you can sin and get by with it, we know the book of Hebrews tells us that we don't belong to God. Right. Then there's another scripture that's being preached today. That's another message within itself. But I wanted to read those because I want to preach on, will the real Jesus please stand up? And in these verses of scripture, if you go back to Luke chapter 4, I'll just give you this just quickly. Notice this, the preacher was talking about that we were born and raised in the same community. Well, it was a mill village. Brandon Mill Village. Anybody know anybody ever been in a mill? Nobody. Y'all city slickers. Well, we was raised in a mill village, cotton mills. And it was in a little Brandon Mill Village. And I thought about that because I seen this verse of scripture. In verse number 16, just let me share this with you. Notice Jesus, notice his raising. His R-A-I-S-I-N-G. Notice what that verse says. And he came to Jesus, to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. So Jesus comes back to the town where he was brought up, where he was raised. And I thought about that little old mill village that I was born and raised. I've often wondered, you know, I would love to go back there. And I even thought about it several times of trying to get a tent and put a tent up there in the mill village and preach to them people. But I'm 62 years old, and I was there in a long time ago. Most of them that were there when I was there, they're dead and gone, so I don't have nobody to preach to. But I would love to go back. And so Jesus, notice his ritual. In verse number 16 as well, and as his custom was, notice what he done. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In the days in which you and I live, and he went to the church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You get to preaching on that, and people will clam up on you. Again, down in South Carolina, we got a bunch of Sunday morning Christians. Yeah. I got a couple in my church. That's why when they come on Sunday morning, I try to load their boat while they're there, because I know I won't see them again until next Sunday. Whatever happened to being faithful to the house of God? Listen, folks, listen. If you want these little children here, and I thought about how they were up here today or tonight, and how you are faithful to bring them and get them under the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, you will never, ever get away from that. They'll never get away from that preaching and teaching. And you as a parents, and we as parents, we need to keep our children, of course I'm preaching to the choir, you that have little children, keep them in the house of God. Keep them under the preaching of the Word of God. You'll never go wrong from doing that. And then when they grow up, they won't have to be like some of us are that bear the sin or the scars of sin in our lives because of the wild seeds that we sow growing up. But notice his reading. Talked about verse 16. He got up and he read the book. Thank God for the Word of God tonight. Then notice his rendering in verse number 17 through 19. He opened the book. You know, I want a man of God to tell me the truth. I've said this before. I go to church, I don't care how hard he preaches, and I'll be honest with you, I like hard preaching. The harder the better, because I know how I am. The preacher's preaching this morning about how the devil can operate in our lives. You know, we're not always everything we ought to be. Listen, you and I both, we sin, we fall short of the glory of God. We don't always do everything God wants us to do. We're not always everything we ought to be. I like what he said this morning, you're angels, but if you're angels, you know, I always say this, if you think you're an angel, better be careful, that halo may fall around your neck and choke you to death. Well, that's who you think you are. Listen, I know you're good people. You wouldn't be here tonight if you wasn't. But we do need help tonight, amen? Spiritually, we need help. And thank God for the Word of God. But here what I want to deal with in verse 18 is, I want you to see the revelation of the ministry of Jesus. And I believe you see that in verse number 18 and 19. Jesus came into this world. We know in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them that are lost. And that's how you get saved. I think one of the reasons why that we're not seeing people get saved today is because we can't get them lost. When is the last time, and this has probably happened a few times, when is the last time you talked to somebody and you witnessed to somebody and they just flat out told you, I'm lost, I'm going to hell? It seems like everybody's saved nowadays. But I want you to see the ministry of Jesus, and I'll just give you these quickly. In verse number 18 and verse number 19, the first ministry of Jesus, I believe, is the ministry of salvation. Notice what he said in verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Notice this. He said that Jesus came to preach to the gospel to them that are poor. Now, this word poor is not financially poor, but I believe it is spiritually poor. And every one of us at one time, we were like that. Spiritually, we were poor. We were bankrupt. But Jesus came into this world and he bled and died and shed his blood on the cross. And if we will accept the finished work of Calvary, we can become rich. I believe they even quoted a verse that we are rich tonight because we are saved by the grace of God. There's two types of poor. There were those that worked, but they were still poor. But then there were those that could not work, and that's why they were poor. I thought about that, and that goes with the message, because none of us can work we cannot work for one day of salvation. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. We know what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says. It's by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Amen? Listen, it's God's gift that he has given us that we're saved here tonight. But the ministry of Jesus, he came to preach to them salvation so that sinners could get saved by the grace of God. And you don't hear much preached on salvation anymore. Seems like we've gotten away from that. So it is the ministry of salvation. And then not only the ministry of salvation, in verse 18, it is the ministry. Now, these are not alliterated, but you understand what I'm saying. I like to alliterate my message, but sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But whether they're alliterated or not, you can still understand what I'm saying. The second ministry I think we see in verse number 18 is not only the ministry of salvation, but it is the ministry of inner healing. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's salvation. Then he says, and he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Can I ask you a question tonight? Has there ever been a time in your life where your heart was broken? Sure, every one of us sitting here tonight, at one time, we've had our hearts broken. There's things that have happened in our lives. The deacon that I have at our church, many years ago, their son, 18-year-old boy, had leukemia and died. The tragedy that struck that man and his wife, and that was many years ago, but listen, they are still faithful to God and in the house of God. And I heard them testify from the first day that I went there to Stamp Creek. They say this a lot. Had it not been for the Lord Jesus Christ and the people in the church, they probably would not have been able to make it. Many times people come to them and ask him, how did you make it through? Listen, we're as parents, we're not accustomed to burying our children. We look at it, it's supposed to be the opposite. You know, they're supposed to outlive us, but from time to time, those things happen. And this couple in our church, their son passed away. And they said, listen, had it not been for the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not have been able to make it through. And people asked them, how did you make it through? Because they think it was some kind of a fairy tale or something. But it is only by the grace of God. And listen, every one of us go through things. We face trials in this life. I told the young people this morning that, you know, life is a lot like a roller coaster. Years ago, you know, roller coasters were plain and simple. But nowadays, they're high tech. And we went to Dollywood and rode the one up in Dollywood. And, you know, you start out and it goes up a hill. Then it goes down. It goes around a curve. It puts you in a corkscrew, turns you upside down, runs you up to a brick wall and stops. Fire comes out of the wall. And all of a sudden, it goes in reverse. And you go right back through the same thing. That is a lot like Christianity. You know, well, listen, sometimes we're up on the mountaintop. And can I say this? When you're up on the mountaintop, you better enjoy it. Listen, shout and praise God. Run the aisles, whatever you have to do, because probably tomorrow you're going to be back down in the valley. But see, the promise that you and I have from God's word is that, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Rose of Sharon. And that only grows up on the mountaintop, Brother David. But then he's the lily of the valley. That only grows in the valley. So listen to me, whether we're on the mountaintop or we're down in the valley, we have the promise of the ever presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Listen, that word broken, and I'm not much of a Greek scholar. I've got a Greek dictionary, but I very seldom do I go to it. The only Greek I know runs the clock restaurants where I eat from time to time. But I looked up that word broken one time. You know, that word broken means to be shattered into 1,000 pieces. Let me ask you a question. Some of you are sitting here tonight that there's been days in your Christian life where your heart was shattered. It was like the devil come. Let me use this rock. Just picture this as your heart. Well, it's a good, you know. What are you talking about, preacher? That's sometimes as hard as our hearts are. This one's not up here by accident. But sometimes it feels like the devil comes and he reaches in and grabs our hearts and he throws it down on the floor, and like that's a little old boy doing a while ago, he jumped on top of it. You say, preacher, I've not been there. Hang on. I'm not a doomist or a gloomist, but I'm a realist, and I'm telling you fair warning tonight. If you have not faced a tragedy in your life, a trouble, a trial in your life, hang on, it's just around the corner. One man said this, you are either in a storm, you've just come out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go in a storm. Preacher, I wish you wouldn't tell me that. You're gonna get me down in the dumps. You don't have to be down in the dust. Because listen to me, if you're on the mountaintop, he's there. If you're down in the valley, listen, we could give away the testimony tonight. Many of you could stand and testify tonight. In your deepest, darkest valley of your life, Jesus was there. And if he'd done it back then, this verse will remind me of Hebrews, where the Bible says that Jesus, he said, he never changes. If he's helped us in the past, he's going to help us in the present, and he will help us in the future. But just hang on, folks. Listen to me. You're going to have days when your heart is going to be shattered. And listen, and he specializes in mending broken hearts. I don't know of the times, and it's not been a lot of times. I can honestly tell you that God sure has been good to me. But I can tell you that there's been a few times in my Christian life where my heart was shattered. I'm talking about just broken to pieces. The first church, and I don't want to try to drag out any skeletons, but the first church I pastored, I went there and stayed 2 years, almost to the day. And they started getting upset at the preaching of the Word of God. The deacon came to me after church Sunday morning with tears rolling out his eyes. He said, "Brother David," he said, "the church wants you to leave." I said, "Why?" I mean, I was tithing. I was living right. I was faithfully preaching the Word of God, but that's what got me in trouble, so to speak. He said, "They're upset at what you're preaching." I said, "Well, am I preaching the book?" He said, "Preacher, it's not me." He said, "It's them." I came back to church that Sunday night. I said, "Understand, y'all want to have a vote? I'm not going to resign. Because God hadn't told me to resign. And I'm not bullheaded. But I know God sent me there. And God hadn't told me to leave." I said, "We'll vote." Of course, they voted me out. I left. I got down from the pulpit, went straight out the door, got in my car, and we rode down the road. And we were going to go to church somewhere. And I'll be honest with you, I had to let my wife drive. You can tell I was upset. Amen, hon, love you. But my heart was broken. You know, I could, brother preacher, I could have understood if I was preaching false doctrine. If I was wrong morally. You know, if something happened, I could understand that. If that had been the case, I'd have resigned, you know. But I was trying to do right, and it broke my heart. And it was days and weeks. And it took me a long time to get over that. One man told me, "Well, you ought to just get over it." You know, you're talking about smacking that man. That's one time I wanted to take my fist, you know, run it down his mouth and grab his gizzard and pull it out and stomp it on the ground. Whatever a gizzard is. Do we have gizzards? I don't know. I think that's just a chicken. Yeah. He was mean enough to have a gizzard. But anyway, my heart was broken. I was burdened. And I remember on a Wednesday night, and I'm going to hurry in just a minute. I'm almost through. And I was burdened down. It was on a Wednesday. And my wife was going to come pick me up, and we were going to church. And all day long, I was not having a pity party, but my heart was burdened. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, if you don't help me tonight, I'm a goner." Now, you may have not ever been that low. But I was that low. That, you know, they tell you the first church will either make you or break you. And that first church has made me what I am today. That's where I got my boot camp. But I said that to say this. We got to church that night. I sat down in the pew and I just flopped down. Now, you've never been there, so you pray for me. I was burdened. I was broken. Troubled. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, if you don't help me tonight, I'm a goner." The very first song that the choir sang that night was "Living by Faith." The same song that was sung the morning I got saved. Amen. Living by faith. And God said, "Son, I'm here. I've not deserted you." Amen. What did you do, preacher? I shucked a little bit of pride. I got up from that pew, walked down, got in the altar, and wept my way to victory. God helped me that night at the lowest point in my spiritual life. God helped me. And he will help you too if you'll ask him to. So there's salvation, inner healing. I'll just mention these last three and three. There is the ministry of freedom. Notice in verse number 18, the Bible says, to preach deliverance to them or to the captives. Can I tell you something? Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're a prisoner to sin and the devil tonight. If there's never been a time in your life where you trusted Christ as your Savior, you're lost and on your way to hell. Jesus is here tonight to set you free. Amen. He'll set you free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And one of these days, he's going to set us free from the very presence of sin. And I cannot wait for that day. Amen. The presence of sin. I don't have too much of a problem with the penalty of sin. It's done, took care of. I don't have a lot of, every now and then I get sideways. The problem of sin, the power of sin, but I'll be honest with you, I can't wait till that one day to get rid of the presence of sin. Amen. I get so sick of me sometime. I do like I want to do that man. I want to take my fist and ram it down my own throat and straighten me out sometime the way I treat the Lord. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I trust God will prick your heart and you'll realize that you need to be saved. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. If you ask the Lord to save you, he'll save you tonight. He wants to give you liberty tonight. He wants to take control of your life. I try to encourage these young people. While you're young, give your life to the Lord. You already given him your heart. Now give him your life. Let him use you. Let him work through you. I thought as these young children are up here, used to the preachers would say, well, that's the church of tomorrow. Well, I think it could be the church of today. They're just much a part of this church as you and I are. Well, I'm not a member here, but I would be if I was up here. Brother David asked me a while ago before church, he said, y'all house hunting? I said, yeah, if you can find a free one. If I was up here, I know where I'd go. What about, I don't know about the rest of them. I don't know about, I know a few churches, but not a lot. But why settle for the rest when you have the best? Y'all had the best church in Virginia. I got the best church in South Carolina. And we both best in the eyes of God, amen? So there's freedom. Then healing. You don't hear much on healing. I'm talking about physical healing. You know, I thought about this, mentioning this lady, Sister Buffy's mother. You know, it'd be no stretch of the imagination for God to touch her and heal her. Now listen, don't get mad at me where I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't believe man can heal anybody. But I do believe that God can heal. And I believe if you go by the book of James and you do what the book of James says, I believe if it's God's will, God can touch and God can heal. I've seen God physically touch people and heal them and raise them up. And he can still do that today. Bible says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can heal back then, he can heal today. I think the reason a lot of people are not getting healing, they're trying the wrong avenue. Thank you, Lord. They're going to the wrong doctor. Miss Jennifer going to go see a doctor tomorrow. She got a problem with a foot. She's not going to go to the eye doctor. She's going to go to somebody that knows something about a swollen ankle, a broken ankle, or a bruised ankle, whatever it is. Go to the right doctor, you can get healed. And then there's the ministry of being anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what we need in our lives today. Can I tell you something? I need these. I need the Lord in my life. I need his help, his leadership, his directions in my life. And I'm so glad that he's there to give me that direction. That's the ministry of Jesus. And I believe that ministry still needs to be carried on today. And God can use you and I to be a help and be a blessing to other people. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Could I ask you one question tonight? If you're sitting here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know what it means to be a Christian. And preacher, I want you and this church to pray for me. Now listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I will not come to you, but we want to pray for you tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, would you like for us to pray for you? Would you just quietly and quickly, would you raise your hand and take it right back down? Anybody quickly. Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. Anybody quickly. Anybody here tonight say, "Preacher, I'm here tonight, and you hit the nail on the head, preacher. My heart's broken. I need some help from God. Preacher, would you pray for me?" God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up. Why don't you come down to these altars and talk to God? Would you come and ask? He's the one that's going to help you. As the sister begins to play something tonight, if you need to come and pray, would you come? Would you let God help you tonight? Preacher, I need some help. Would you help me tonight, preacher? God bless you.